Well, good morning and welcome to All Saints. It is hard to believe that summer is upon us. We are eager for summer as a church as we transition into our new home that God has blessed us with. Now, in preparation of making that transition, we want to spend the summer months looking together at the book of Acts. We've already looked at the beginning of the book of Acts in Acts 1 as we looked at the ascension of our Lord, and Acts 2 as we looked at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now we'll continue to work our way through the book of Acts, seeing how the Spirit-filled church continued to do all that Jesus taught and did. Acts ends by saying that the good news of the reign of Jesus, the good news of his kingdom, was proclaimed in his world with all boldness and without hindrance. So we want to give ourselves to the message of Acts, asking ourselves, what would it look like for us as individuals, for us as a community, to proclaim the kingdom of God with boldness and without hindrance? What does it mean for us to be part of a community that has been turning the world upside down for millennia? What does it look like for us to be turned upside down in our lives by Jesus and his gospel and to really and truly live for the sake of his kingdom? Well, this in mind, let's read our text together this morning and see how the Spirit of God was at work in these early followers of Jesus to turn their lives and to turn their world upside down, and how he will be at work in our lives to do the same. Reading of the apostles from Acts chapter 2. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, we do now ask that you would attend to us, that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand, and wills and desires to obey, that even as you were at work in the early church, that you'd be at work through us by Jesus and his Spirit. For his sake we pray. Amen. In the 1990s and early 2000s, a television revolution gained momentum that continues strong to this day. I'm thinking about the explosion of reality television, ranging from shows like American Idol, to Survivor, to The Amazing Race, to Big Brother, to Shark Tank, to Donald Trump's The Apprentice, and to MTV's The Real World. Now, these shows vary in detail, but they all have several things in common. They take people who aren't actors or aren't celebrities, people like us, and they put them in a situation where they must perform in order to compete on the show, to continue on the show, and to win a prize. And one by one, they're eliminated, either by their peers or by a panel of judges or by the Donald himself with the words, "You're fired." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm suspicious about how real these shows really are, both in terms of what we as the viewers get to see. I know there's a ton of behind-the-scenes editing, behind-the-scenes politicking that happens, and in terms of how they portray reality. I don't know about you, but I've never been on an island to outwit, outlast, outplay people. I've never been in front of a room to pitch an idea in front of a panel of investors that I had seconds to decide on a partnership. Or I've never lived in a house with total strangers for months at a time. Probably not many of you have experienced these things in your life either. But despite how unlike real life reality television is, its popularity is undeniable. New shows keep popping up all over the place with new twists and takes on the same basic assumptions. And know this, they will not stop making reality television shows until we stop watching them. So why is this so popular? As we've watched some of these shows over the years, I've noticed several common themes. First, these communities that come together, whether on an island or in a kitchen or in a home, are inherently secular. They don't talk about the reality of God. They don't acknowledge that they are children of God, that they're creatures of God, that everything that they have is a gift of God, that they're dependent upon God for all things. Now, from time to time, someone may talk about their belief in God, their faith in God, and when they do, usually quickly dismissed or voted out. Second, the individuals that make up these communities, they intentionally, they vigorously, diligently, even religiously commit themselves to certain practices, honing their singing skills with a coach on The Voice, perfecting their baking skills with a coach on Cake Wars, or committing to rigorous exercise on The Biggest Loser. They're committed to these disciplines, to these habits, to these practices that allow them to stay on the show and experience success. And third, the people that come on these shows, they're seeking self-attainment, self-fulfillment, self-improvement. They're on the show for fame or for fortune or to overcome some demon in their life. And as they perform on these shows, we begin to see that these shows are inherently Darwinistic, perpetuating the worldview that only the strong survive. Well, friends, you and I are often swept away by the principles and values of reality TV, a vision of the world that is inherently secular, Darwinistic, and self-centered. And so our culture's view of the world should cause us to pause and to ask ourselves, what is real? What is the real world like? What is true about the world that we live in? What is true about God's world? And the answer is found in the book of Acts. Friends, Acts presents to us the real world, a world not dominated by secularism, but by the worship of the one true God, a world not given over to selfishness, but devoted to sacrificial love and service. Reality TV portrays to us a world cave in on itself, a world failing, a world refusing to love God and to love others. Friends, it was no different for the early church in the book of Acts. The world during the days of the book of Acts was a world far from knowing and experiencing divine love and human love. It was like ours, a selfish, cutthroat world. But into that world, the church of Jesus Christ began to flourish. Into that world, the church of Jesus Christ began to dismantle the power of the Roman Empire and the principles that shaped it. Into that world, the church became an alternate city, an alternate society, an alternate world that began to live in radically different ways. Into that world, the church became a reality. The church grew. The church flourished. The church began to show us what the real world is really like. A world shaped by Jesus. A world shaped by His Spirit. And the church into that world began to embody three counter-cultural, subversive ways of living. First and foremost, the church was committed to a particular type of worship. Now, worship was rampant in the Roman Empire. The Roman cities were full of different types of temples and different types of deities. Romans were polytheists. They worshiped many, many, many different types of gods for the needs that they had as a people. If they wanted children, they worshiped a god that would give them children. Money, power, pleasure, peace, success, whatever they wanted, they would bring offerings and sacrifices to these gods. The fastest growing form of worship in the first century in the Roman Empire was the worship of the emperor himself, as he represented military conquest, military advancement, military security. So into the world of Roman polytheism, the church, this small band of people committed to Jesus, began to experience worship in a different way. The church became an alternate temple, an alternate community of worship. In Acts chapter 2, in the section that precedes the verses that we've read, we hear about the day of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his people and filled his people with his power and with his presence. The coming of the Spirit is described in Acts chapter 2 as wind, as fire, invading the people of God. And when you look at other portions of Scripture, either in the days when the tabernacle was consecrated or when the temple was consecrated or when people were caught up into heaven to participate in God's heavenly temple, the description of the temple always includes wind and fire and the Spirit of God. So where there's wind, where there's fire, where there's a Spirit of God, there is a temple. So in Acts chapter 2, the people of God are consecrated as the new temple of God. They are now the place where God dwells. They are now his holy habitation. They are now the presence of God in the world. They are now where the glory of God rests. So now, if you want to know God, if you want to experience God, you don't go to an earthly temple made up of bricks and stones in Jerusalem. You go to a living temple called the church. Now, as these early Christians sit in the old temple, this temple made up of bricks and stones, they're about to lose an important piece of what it meant for them to be the people of God. But through the gift of the Spirit, through the wind and the fire of the Spirit, they gain so much more. They gain the presence and the glory of God, not in bricks and mortar, but in them as living stones, in them as the ongoing presence of Christ in the world. And they begin to show the world what true worship looks like, which worship in the Spirit and the truth through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son really looks like. And they begin to show the watching world the importance of being a completely different kind of temple, a new kind of people centered on the sacrificial, life-giving love of their Savior. You see, as they inhabited the cities of the Roman Empire, they inhabited cities that were filled with lots and lots and lots of different temples. And these temples were bloody places. These temples were places where sacrifices were made. Day and day, over and over again, temples overflowed with blood. And so they inhabited the cities of Rome next to these temples. But friends, wherever the church of Jesus Christ goes, as God's new temple, proclaiming the good news of Christ, proclaiming Jesus as the final and complete and sufficient sacrifice, do you know what happens? It's the end of sacrifice. As the church boldly proclaimed the good news of Jesus and him as a sacrifice, Rome's temples began to be dismantled. You see, Rome's economy in many ways revolved around temples, around priests, around animals, around the buying and selling of sacrifices. And a few short centuries after the death and resurrection of Jesus, Rome's temple economy collapsed. When Rome began to recognize the church as the true temple, as the true presence of God in the world, as a true place of worship, the other temples became obsolete. And friends, the same is true for us today. When we as a church, when we as God's people, devote ourselves to the worship of the one true God, other forms of worship collapse. You see, the truth, the goodness, the beauty of our God are far more attractive than any other deity. The sacrificial love of Jesus is far more appealing than any other way of life. And so when we as the people of God begin to live drastically different lives from the world, we will attract the world to us. And so the first, the fundamental, the primary way in which we remind ourselves of what the real world is to devote ourselves to worship. Because friends, this is God's world. This is his gift to us. We're called to live in response to him. We're called to worship him. And so when we gather for worship, On Sunday morning or throughout the week in our homes, in small groups, we remind ourselves, we devote ourselves to the reality that this is God's world and that we are his creatures and that we are to live only for him. The second way that we remind ourselves of the real world, the second way that we embody the real world, is by devoting ourselves to particular practices. We see this in our text as we read about the church giving herself to study, to hospitality, to sacrificial giving, to service. You see, in the wider world, the stories that our culture tells us, our wider world has a particular way of thinking about formation, of thinking about how to live personally and live holy, of how to have fulfilling lives. And it's not the Christian life-giving formation. You see, the world pursues formation for the benefit of oneself. But on the other hand, Christians, we pursue formation. We pursue practices. We pursue habits. We pursue disciplines for the benefit of others. We give ourselves to a particular way of life for the sake of blessing others, for the sake of building others up, for the sake of becoming more and more like our Savior. So in the early church, as they devoted themselves to these disciplines of love, they became an explosive community in the world. The world couldn't handle it. The world looked at them and say, "We want in on the party. We want to become loving like you are loving." You see, the church grew from the small band of disciples following Jesus' resurrection to more than 3,000 at the day of Pentecost, to a number that couldn't be counted in the first few centuries of the life of the church. The church grew from Jerusalem to Judea to the ends of the earth. She grew in favor with God and man, just as Jesus grew in favor with God and man. She grew because she devoted herself to the life-giving practices of love. And as she gave herself to practices of love, the new world, the real world, the Jesus world began to emerge and take greater and greater shape. Friends, as we think about how the church will grow and flourish in our day, it'll only be as we commit ourselves to practices of love. We won't grow. We won't experience the explosive power of the Spirit if we're self-focused, if we're self-consumed. We'll only grow, we'll only continue the story of Jesus as we devote ourselves to practices of love. As a church, over the last year or so, we've been talking about these 10 practices that we want to shape our life together. We see several of these practices in Acts 2. Practice of study, practice of hospitality, practice of sacrificial giving, practice of service. All these practices are a way for us to embody love for God and love for one another. And you see, it's only when we truly live for the goodness and well-being of others that the church grows, that the church expands, that the church flourishes. C.S. Lewis once said that a man wrapped up in himself makes for a very small package. And the same is true for a church. A church wrapped up in herself, in her needs, her wants, her desires, quickly begins to suffocate and die. But a church that wraps herself around others, around their needs, around their concerns, quickly grows, quickly expands, quickly takes on new forms of life. And so as we think about moving into our facility, we want to use it as a way to devote ourselves to practices of love, the practices that bring life not only to us but to others, specifically like this group of disciples that we read about in Acts chapter 2. We want to devote ourselves to prayer, to hospitality, to service. We'll have several opportunities throughout the week as we move into our new home for us to implement the practices that we have adopted, especially the practice of morning and evening prayer. And we want these practices of love to shape our lives together because we know that the Spirit of God shows up just like he showed up in the early church when we as his people devote ourselves to habits and disciplines and practices of love. We remind ourselves of the real world. We embody the real world as we devote ourselves to worship, as we devote ourselves to love, and thirdly, as we devote ourselves to service. We're called to give ourselves away through service. And we see this in our passage as they shared their lives, as they shared their possessions, as they gave generously to those who had need. And as they continue to do so throughout the book of Acts, they turn the world upside down. As a church, we want to grow in our devotion to service. We want to be marked more and more by sacrificial giving, by self-denying service and love. We want to give ourselves away in real and tangible ways, not only to one another, to the group of people that makes up All Saints Presbyterian, but also to others, to those that aren't yet a part of us, to those that aren't a part of a church community. And as we do this, the Lord has promised to give us more and more of His Spirit, to energize us to be more faithful participants in the story of Jesus, the story where God is renewing all things in and through Him. And as we do this, as we give ourselves to worship, as we give ourselves to love, as we give ourselves to service, the stories of the book of Acts, stories of healing, stories of faith, stories of welcome, stories of growth will become our stories. As we do this, the real world, God's world, the world of His life-giving love, the world of His resurrection becomes more and more a reality. So what would it look like for us? For us as a church community, for you as a family, for you as an individual, to embody the real world. The real world of the book of Acts. To be a life-giving community that we see in the books of Acts, and not the false world like we see in reality TV shows and shows like Survivor and shows like MTV's The Real World. What would it look like for us to embody, to live out the story of the real world? Well, let me give you two applications. First, this summer, day, tomorrow, this week, this month, commit yourself, just like these early followers of Jesus did, to prayer, to morning and evening prayer. As a church, we've made it pretty easy for you. We have tapped into a tradition that has been praying prayers and the Psalms together for centuries, and these are accessible to you on our website. You can sign up for an email and it would be delivered to your inbox early in the morning. I doubt many of you wake up before it's delivered, and that afternoon as well. So sign up for morning and evening prayer. If you don't want to use one of our office guides, then find a prayer guide, find a prayer book, pray the Psalms. The Psalms are an amazing way to listen to God and respond to Him. Devote yourselves to prayer. Let's be a people of prayer. And as we move into our new facility, we're going to provide lots of opportunities for us to pray together. We're going to have morning and evening prayer several days a week. So join us. You may not be able to because of kids or because of work, but if you're able to, commit. Come and like these early disciples, let's commit ourselves to prayer. Because when we pray, the Spirit of God shows up. And when the Spirit of God shows up, the real world begins to emerge. The real world begins to take shape. When we begin to pray, we begin to see God's love and God's grace more fully. When we begin to pray and stop, even ever so briefly, to stop thinking about our pressures, our tasks, our stressors in life, and we begin to dig deep into the love that God has for us. When we begin to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," the real world, the life of God's kingdom, the life of God's self-giving love begins to take shape. So together, let's devote ourselves to prayer. Second, this fall, we plan on launching a midweek outreach targeted especially toward reaching our Latino friends and neighbors. Austin as a city is about 37% Latino now, and in God's kindness, Our new facility is right next to a large Latino neighborhood. We want to be good neighbors. We want to open ourselves up to others, even as we see this in the book of Acts, as they practice hospitality. We want to do likewise. And so our plan this fall is to gather midweek for a meal, and then to have several activities, some classes for kids, like VBS classes for kids, classes for adults, ESL classes, financial classes, parenting classes, Bible studies for adults. So for those interested in serving in a real and tangible way, we're going to gather several times this summer to first pray, to pray that God would use us, to pray that God would make us good neighbors, and then to plan, and then to promote this outreach and this service endeavor. And so be on the lookout for details and consider joining us in this new and exciting way of serving our neighbors, of sharing life together as a community. Join us. Commit to service. If it's not through this way, then serve in some other way. Because as the people of God serve his world, the real world takes shape. And so let's devote ourselves to service. Friends, the book of Acts gives us a beautiful picture, story after story after story, chapter after chapter after chapter of the real world, of God's world, of God's life-giving love. And so let's give ourselves to be faithful participants in this world as we devote ourselves, just like these early followers of Christ in Acts chapter 2, to worship, to spiritual formation, to service. And as we do, God will show up. His Spirit will be present with us, and he will turn reality upside down for us, even as he did for the early church. And as we do, the stories of the book of Acts, stories of faith, the stories of hope, the stories of healing, the stories of grace, the stories of life, will once again, in new and fresh ways, be our stories. Let's pray that that would be a reality for us. Father, we are so grateful that this is your world, and that the reality of your world is that it is being shaped, it is being marked, it is being controlled by Jesus, who lives and reigns with you, who sits on your throne, and who has given us the Spirit. Lord, we confess that many, many times we don't, as your followers, live out the reality of this world. So please forgive us, and please give us grace today, this week. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we might more and more devote ourselves to worship, to spiritual formation, to service, because we know that as we do, the real world, your life-giving world, the world of your resurrection becomes more and more a reality. We want to see that happen. We want to see that happen for us. We want to see that happen for our city. We want to see that happen for our world. So use us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.